You are listening to Screenfish Radio. I'm your host, Steve Norton. When times are tough, what stories do you turn to? Our new series, Comfort Films, is designed to look at the stories that are important to us and why they help bring us up when everything feels down. This week, author and teacher Troy Kinney and Screenfisher and brother from another mother Jason Norton return to chat about family humor and Meet the Parents, quotability and community in Caddyshack, and being able to change the past in Back to the Future. So grab a coffee and get comfortable. This is Screenfish. Started so that you know we I know it's gonna get late if we don't. So
late for you, it's only 7 o'clock for me.
7 o'clock.
I still have light out, so
I didn't know you were that far behind. Oh man. Well, in that case we can go late into the night and well, it's late for us, so we'll get started. Welcome to Screenfish Radio. I'm so glad you could join us as we continue our series on comfort films. And I'm so glad to have back a couple of old friends and Screenfish veterans, author and teacher Troy Kinney, and, of course, Screamfish Jason Norton, who has no relation to me other than probably down the line. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Love chatting with you both. And, I mean, we are certainly in one of the craziest times in global history, or at least in recent global history. I would like to know how you're doing. How are things going? How are you holding up?
Oh, things are good. You know, it's a blessing to have my kids home from college and just having a full house again, you know, a house of five. My oldest is married in Alabama, but it was good having my other two home. And we're just being family and hanging out at the house, trying to find things to do. And it's good stuff.
Your kids are in college, right? They're older kids.
Yeah, I have one graduated from college, and then I have two in college, and I have one at home.
And so how's that been like, getting the band back together?
We thought it might be a trial at first to get everybody back in the house, but it hasn't been too bad. It's been really good, actually, and it's actually been really enjoyable.
Jason, how are you doing? You're sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum. You got the little ones in the house, and how are you doing in the midst of all this?
You're doing pretty good. I am currently not working. My wife is still hard at it day by day. We technically are both considered essential personnel. We both work in the medical field, but our babysitter stepped away because of the virus, just with fear. So I've been a stay-at-home dad for a good couple of months now while my wife is still working every day, God bless her. But it's been good. It's been fun. You know, a little bit of a change for me because my kids are young. I've got twin 5-year-olds and a about to be 4-year-old. And so I didn't get to see them during the day quite so much. So it's kind of nice now that I can spend some time with them. But they're 5, 5, and 3. So it's pretty wide open every day, every hour, every minute at my home during the day. So that's been pretty cool. But by 7, 8 o'clock at night, I'm ready for a good nap. And it usually doesn't happen till about 12 or 1 in the morning because I'm taking care of all the stuff that didn't get done during the day. But, you know, a small price to pay for being able to see my kids more. So it's worth it.
I'm not sure about the age of the kids, but are you doing schooling at home? 5-year-old be in kindergarten, right?
Yes. Yeah, I am. And that has likewise given me a new appreciation for what teachers do. Troy, my hat's off to you there, buddy.
Thank you.
I do think, for as hard as you guys have it, the at-home part, though, even throws more of a wrench because as soon as I can sit one down to work on whatever we're working on, the other two are blowing through the house, going to whatever else they want to play with, and trying to wrangle them back in. So... There may have been some tethering at some point. I'm not going to say for sure whether there was or not. But it works.
Yeah, you're not trying to keep the house clean, are you?
Of course I am, because I'm a perfectionist and I'm also a moron. So, you know, those two things don't work too well together. But
well, we're doing okay up here. It's weird. This almost feels like normal now. I don't know if you guys have found that, but it's just been so long. Like, there's this weird adaptation that takes place.
Uh-huh.
And so we just had the schools close for the year today, and I was actually glad. I thought to myself, I thought I really didn't want them to go back for 2 weeks or something like that, and we're just sort of finding our groove now. But I'm not saying that, you know, oh, this is fantastic and I hope it never changes. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it is strange how something like this can sort of become almost routine. I mean, when you think about it, it's bizarre. But
yeah, I felt like I was in a month of Saturdays getting nothing done.
Yeah.
And I don't know what day it is. I don't know what week things happened. It's so bizarre. When you're in your work world, you have like markers, you know, the things that happen and things you do at certain times of the year and certain things happen. And you just don't have it. You're just at home all the time, so the scenery doesn't change much.
Yeah. In the midst of this, I was wondering if either of you have any uniquely COVID stories. Jason, do you have any?
Not really. You know, I'm somewhat of an introvert to a certain degree anyway, and so I've kind of been waiting for a day like this, to be honest. You know, it was kind of nice just to be able to stay at home and not have to interact with too much of society, as it were. No, it's, you know, it's been for us. I mean, we don't get out and about and socialize a whole lot because we do. We have the young kids. It's hard to get out. It's hard to, you know, find time to just, you know, take off and kind of do what you want at the drop of a hat kind of a thing. So it hadn't really had a ton of effect on me personally. Just, you know, the things that have been, you know, kind of a downer is we do tend to hang out with my parents and my brother fairly often. You know, at least once a month we try to get together and do something with them, you know, individually or together as groups. And we haven't been able to do that so much. So we've done, you know, like porch parties and that kind of thing where you just drive up and knock on the windows and, you know, you talk through the screens and all that kind of stuff. So it's, in a sense, it's a bummer because you don't get to enjoy that interaction. But in another sense, kind of really brings the value of that home, that you do have this luxury of being able to see your family when you want to, when things are well. You know, this maybe that you take it for granted a little bit. So it kind of helps you put a little bit more importance on the things that really matter. Other than that, you know, I mean, we haven't had anything really crazy, really wild stories. We've had a couple of instances where my wife has been out and she's seen people almost, you know, throwing down because somebody's wearing a mask and somebody isn't, or somebody bumps into somebody and, you know, that sort of thing. But I've been more of the homebody, just taking care of the homestead while she's out, you know, foraging and fighting the good fight. So
right.
I've been a little bit sheltered, but
being sheltered is a COVID story. I mean, that counts too. I haven't seen any fistfights in the grocery store as of yet, but I'm surprised at that. Maybe we're just really well behaved up here. I don't know. Rowdy Virginians.
Well, I've seen the videos of like the Christmas Eve shopping up there, and it's nothing like it is down here. So you guys are much more civilized.
It's fair. It's fair.
Nobody gets trampled for a TV in Canada, eh?
Don't know what you're talking about. Troy, what about you? Any COVID stories?
Yeah, so this Zoom phenomenon, have you experienced the Zoom phenomenon where everybody gets on Zoom? And
oh, my word. The three times today.
Yeah, so something interesting that I've noticed being a school teacher and using Zoom, you know, because I had to change everything. I had to work on these electronic platforms, digital platforms, however you want to look at it. Everybody has a front seat in Zoom. And so nobody sits behind anybody else. Nobody sits next to anybody else. And everybody has a front view of the teacher, me. And so my interactions when students showed up on Zoom were very interesting because kids that never spoke in the classroom were speaking to me and they were sharing their ideas and things like that. So I found that very interesting. And it took me a while to figure out why is this happening. When I realized everybody has a front seat, I thought, well, that's kind of cool, actually. So a good thing about Zoom, I suppose.
That's fascinating. I never considered it from that angle before. Yeah.
So that's my like surprising thing. The other thing is travel. So part of my wife's part of her income is vending machines in our airports. Airports are ghost towns. And so, you know, it really affected us in a really strange way. Like, nobody's buying anything. It's so weird going down there and there's nobody there. And just everything's a ghost town. So, you know, traffic, no traffic, nobody at the airport, just that kind of stuff. Just strange things. You know, you walk into an airport, you expect to see people and you don't see anybody. So
I can only imagine how empty they must be right now.
Yeah, it's just a strange world right now.
Well, I will say for my COVID story, I was going to share one about puzzles because our family has discovered puzzles. But I mean, just even saying that sounds unbelievably nerdy, but it's been very exciting for our house. But that's not what I'm going to share. This was interesting to me. Last weekend, I mean, I've got a 9 and a 5-year-old, and we're always looking for things to do, as every family is in this situation. And the Toronto Zoo had 2 nights in a row a virtual campout. They invited anybody who wanted to. They did it over YouTube, but they did it on Zoom. So it was this bizarre mashup of things. But it, you know what? Like, as a parent, I really appreciated that. And It was a simple little thing. They do have overnights at the Toronto Zoo, you know, not now, but they do have those things. I think they have a camp program or something. And so they were sitting in a tent and they would go from animal to animal, and they, you know, they had North American animals, and then the next night they had, you know, bigger animals like the, I guess we just had a baby giraffe. Well, no, my wife and I didn't, but the zoo did. And last week or something. So they had all this little footage over Zoom. It was actually kind of really, really cute. And now I hear that what they're going to do is have a drive-through zoo.
We did that here in Phoenix.
They did that too?
They opened the zoo up, and they let people drive their cars through the zoo.
Yep. We got one in Richmond like that too.
That's wild to me.
Yep. Literally with the zoo.
It's fair. I appreciate the fact that a place like the zoo of all places is able to adapt in some ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we're zoo members. We like going to the zoo, but I mean, I just assume that we, you know, okay, we're not going. But I appreciated the fact that they were thinking of families in that way and trying to keep themselves relevant. That for me was a uniquely COVID story this week.
So. Yeah. Our zoo here just did the drive-through thing. They just started that maybe 2 weeks ago. So yeah, it's a big deal.
But yeah, I mean, guys, let's talk about the real reason we're here. Let's talk about comfort films. I want to know what your comfort film is, the films that bring you up when things feel down. So, I mean, Troy, let's start with you. What's your comfort film?
Well, I have two actually that I think about. I watched one the other night. One is Meet the Parents, and the other one is a movie called Strictly Ballroom, which is Baz Luhrmann's first big film. He's Romeo and Juliet and Australia. That's Baz Luhrmann, Moulin Rouge. But yeah, we watched Meet the Parents the other night, and that movie is funny every time I watch it. My son had brought a buddy of his down from Colorado, and he'd never seen it. And when there's somebody in our house who hasn't seen Meet the Parents, we usually put it on. Just a funny movie. So we sat around laughing about that movie, and all the little jokes. They kill me. You guys familiar with Meet the Parents?
Oh yeah.
And Robert De Niro, you know, he's playing that straight guy, and poor Ben Stiller is the awkward guy, and he's trying to be impressive, and they're sitting at that dinner table, and he's like milking cats. I just can't handle it. It's just so funny. Or when they go over to Owen Wilson's house, and you know, I carved this out of one piece of wood. You may call it a hopa. The movie just kills me. It just literally kills me. So that was, like I said, we just literally watched that two nights ago. So
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Oh my gosh, it's one after another. It was funny because I'm going to go way back for this one, but I think the title just escaped me. But there's something about Meet the Parents that reminds me of an old Tom Selleck movie. Have you seen Her Alibi with Tom Selleck?
Her Alibi? Oh my gosh, no. I in name only. I only know.
Oh my. That's a funny little film, too. But I don't know. It just came to my mind talking about Meet the Parents. Tom Selleck is he's like a Pulp Fiction writer, and he ends up befriending this pretty gymnastic girl, and he gets into all kinds of trouble, and it's just a cute little fun film. But anyway, Meet the Parents for sure for me is definitely a comfort film.
That and Strictly Ballroom, which I have not seen, but I imagine is a very different film. Yeah. So why Strictly Ballroom?
Strictly Ballroom is kind of interesting. I don't know why I ended up seeing this film back when it came out. And so it didn't play in lots of theaters. It played in one of those little art house film, you know, where they play the independent films or whatever. And my mom actually had heard about it, and so my mom and I went to go see this movie, and it starts out kind of like a documentary about ballroom dancing, and it's kind of quirky and stuff. It's either Australia, I think it's Australia or New Zealand, wherever Baz Luhrmann is from. And it's about this kid named Scott Sterling, and I think that's his name. Anyway, he is a ballroom dancer. He's a kid, but he has his own ideas, and so it's sort of a rebel without a cause film, because he wants to do his own moves. He wants to dance his own steps, and which is breaking the norm, which is you do the steps that you're assigned, you do the steps you've been taught, you don't have your own steps, you don't have your own way. But it's kind of a comedy, it's kind of a romance, it's kind of a family film. My kids love it. I actually used it in my film class at Huntington University in the fall, and they all loved it. They all really enjoyed the film. It's a little ugly duckling kind of a film too. It's just all around fun film. It's not offensive. I think it's a gem that people don't really know about, are kind of unaware of, so to say.
Hmm. Jason, have you seen Strictly Ballroom or Meet the Parents? Are you a fan?
Actually, I hate to tell you, but I haven't seen either one. I'm sorry. I'll go right out and write to my local Blockbuster and see if I can pick them up. I've seen pieces of Meet the Parents, but I've never seen it front to back. So I am familiar with the nipple milking there, but that's about the extent of my knowledge of that particular film.
I loved Meet the Parents when it came out. The thing that bothers me about Meet the Parents is that, like, the sequels aren't bad, but they're just not as good. So it's one of those movies, it didn't need to be a franchise to me. But the first one just works. Like, the that was when De Niro went through that phase where he really started to make fun of, like, the tropes and of his own career.
Yeah.
And, like, there was Analyze This came out about that time as well. And it works. It works. They have a great rapport, the two of them, and it is hilarious. I'm not gonna lie. That's a funny pick.
So a funny story about Meet the Parents. You know, I saw it near when it came out. I'd seen it a few times, you know, back in the day, and a couple months later, I get this call from my brother, and he's like crying. But it's that laughing crying, and he was in another town. He lives here in Phoenix with me, but he's in another town. He's calling me from a hotel room, and then finally I figure out he just watched Meet the Parents, and I'm on the phone like for a good minute or so, and he's like crying and he's trying to quote the film and he's laughing And I realized he'd never seen the film. And then he was, you know, hotel TV, flipping the channels, HBO, Meet the Parents. And it floored him. Here he was by himself, couldn't share it with anybody, calls me up crying, laughing. And I just always remember that part of the story, too. I just think it's hilarious.
That's hilarious. That is funny. Jason, why don't you tell us a little bit about your comfort film?
Yeah, I have a long list, honestly, of stuff that I really would come back to time and again, because when I finish watching it, I kind of feel, you know, better about life in general. Hmm. But I narrowed it down to two, really, I guess, three movies, two of which are in the same franchise, if you will. It's only a two-movie franchise, but number one is Caddyshack. yeah, exactly, right? It doesn't need a lot of pomp and circumstance associated with it, but I have some stories. So Caddyshack is first, and then Fletch, and I would argue Fletch Lives is every bit as good as the original Fletch, which doesn't always happen with sequels, but to me, I thought it was. So with Caddyshack, I mean, for all guys, it's the ultimate quote movie, right? but for me, with Caddyshack and Fletch, the reason they're so, I guess, comforting to me, if you will, especially when, you know, I'm having a bad day or whatever, is those movies, not only do I find them hilarious, they all star Chevy Chase, which, you know, is awesome in and of itself, but for me and my friends, they were our vernacular, right? That was the way we talked. We adopted all of those quotes. I come from a kind of a weird situation where I have an older brother who's 10 years older than I am. And so when I grew up, I had my circle of friends that I went to high school with and what have you. But then I had this other group of guys that were all his friends that kind of adopted me as like their de facto little brother, or, you know, the team mascot or whatever. So I was hanging out with these guys for years, and we were watching, you know, these movies that kids my age, for lack of a better word, kids, you know, they weren't watching that kind of stuff. And so for us, I mean, we can quote the movies front to back, and that's how we have talked with one another for 30 plus years, right? If we're out somewhere, I mean, it's rare that one of those movies doesn't get quoted somewhere in the night. You know, if we're just hanging out, if we're at someone's house, if we're out, you know, doing something. We were all big volleyball players. And so we'd be on the court and in the middle of, you know, this heated match or whatever, and somebody's firing off lines from Fletch Lives. And, you know, bonus points if you could make your own teammate laugh while he's, you know, going up to hit or swing or whatever. Even better if you happen to be playing against one of your friends and they're going up to hit and you throw out some line and they just totally flood, you know, a swing or whatever. But for us, I mean, that's what it was. We always, no matter how stupid the situation, how, you know, dire the situation, somebody would throw out one of these quotes from one of these movies. And, you know, levity. It would be almost a code language that we had that other people didn't know. So that's probably the reason I always come back to those as some of my favorites.
So is Chevy, you said Chevy Chase is the common denominator, or is it like that era of his career?
Yeah, so he, well, Caddyshack, I mean, is pretty star-studded with the comedian at that time, right? So it's Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray, just a big name in that one. And then he, you know, he plays Fletch in Fletch and the sequel Fletch Lives. And some good, you know, co-stars in both of those movies, too, not necessarily comedy heavies. They're playing more straight parts. But just subtle humor, you know, for as wacky and zany as you think, you know, those words get attached to some of the comedians and some of those styles of movies from that era. Some of it is just really subtle, kind of fly under the radar humor. Really funny stuff.
Well, you know what, is you're allowed to turn on me as well, because I have not seen any of the Fletch movies.
It's only two.
There's only two? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see the first one.
Books. Yeah, they were based on the books, and there's several books, but they only made two movies.
Yep.
Right.
The first one, definite. Got to see the first one. That one's funny.
Yeah.
Second one didn't hit me as funny as the first, but that first one is hilarious.
Yeah, it's good
it's
stuff.
It's funny you say these movies that you quote a lot. That made me think of like a ton of other movies I grew up with that we quoted all the time, and one of them happens to be Strange Brew.
What?
Oh yeah, we would quote that movie ad nauseum, or Three Amigos.
Three Amigos.
Quotable. You just use those quotes all the time. I relate to that so much. Just throwing back quotes back and forth to people. Oh my goodness, man. That's good. I love it.
It's funny because that, like, that's something we've talked about in another episode too. Is this idea, like, there's something about quotability that can kick something up a notch, even if it's like, even if it's funny but not like hilarious. When you quote it, it somehow gains power.
It does gain power. That's exactly right. That's so awesome.
I think I shared one of the other stories I shared before. I think we went the first time I saw Holy Grail. I just didn't think it was funny. And then, you know, everybody was laughing, and I'm like, this is incredibly dumb. But then afterwards, like, you start quoting it, you're like, oh, I remember that part. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Then you quote it again.
Brothers in name only, sir. Name only, sir.
That was Napoleon Dynamite for me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I disliked that movie. I didn't like it, but man, we would quote that movie and just laugh all the time. But watching the movie, I didn't think it was very funny, but man, quoting it, goodness gracious.
My lips hurt real bad.
It has almost, and I didn't hear the other episode, I'm sorry.
No.
That you were referencing earlier, but you know, with the quotability of things, I guess, that kind of we grew up on, that has become the meme of today.
That's true. And it
gives it that, you know, oomph, like you're talking about. And I mean, you can take something in today's, you know, culture, subculture, whatever, that seems fairly innocuous at the time, slap a label of some type of a meme, you know, worthy quote upon it, or whatever you however you want to word it, meme worthy saying, and the next thing you know, it gains this, you know, power, popularity, have you, and you know, then it goes viral, as the kids would say nowadays. I guess they still say that. I don't know.
Wow, you sounded old when you said that. you know, like viral, like the kids say nowadays, maybe.
It was a type of viral. There was something about those movies that you bring up. There was a viralness about it, but we didn't have technology to do it. We just did it by word of mouth.
Right.
But what is that? Like, honestly, I'm asking this genuinely. Like, even in movies that reference other movies, it seems to help. Like, I remember, and this really is dating myself, I guess, but I remember seeing the movie Twister in theaters. And that movie was a blast. But the thing I remember most about Twister is Philip Seymour Hoffman yelling, yeah, "That's no moon, it's a space station." And I'm like, oh yeah, I get that now. There's some sort of kit, you know, Star Wars reference, haha. But there's something about that. I don't really understand what it is, whether it's some form of connection we can make that we feel like we're brought in. Like, I really don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, man, I don't know. It's good. I love it. I love that whole memory of doing those things and quoting movies to each other and trying to find places to stick them in our conversations and hide them. Or throw them out as a surprise.
Yeah.
Just to get a reaction. Or if you're in a serious spot, you know, maybe you're at church or some other thing and you say something, you quote a piece from some movie and you know it's just going to ruin them. Because you're not in trouble if you don't laugh first. The person that laughs first, they're the ones that get in trouble.
I'd like to go on record saying that this is Troy has just admitted that in church he quotes Caddyshack.
The good Lord wouldn't ruin the best game of my life.
See, it works. There you go.
Exactly.
Oh man, that's there you go, Troy. That'll be for your next book.
Quotable movies.
Yeah, no, and Caddyshack I used to love. I haven't seen it in years, but I remember I used to think it was hilarious. And Bill Murray, that was like one of his early, you know, before he, that was before Ghostbusters, before anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But that's great. I guess I'm going to continue the trend of quotable films this week. My comfort film this week is a classic that has recently been debated highly as to whether or not it's the perfect film. And so a comfort film for me is Back to the Future.
Oh.
This is, to me, one of the all-time classic films that always, always brings me up. And in fact, all three of them do until they almost ruin the entire franchise in the last 5 minutes. Back to the Future, for me, the thing that I love about it, other than the fact that it's fun, it's funny, you know, who doesn't love a story that, you know, with time travel and a sci-fi edge? Sure. But what I really love about Back to the Future is that it's one of those films that came out in a time when the world was going a bit crazy, you know, the mid-80s. And they were yearning for this time, 30 years in the past, yearning for the good old days.
Uh-huh.
And even though they're the, quote, good old days, you find out the good old days aren't as good as you remember them or know of them. Uh-huh. You know? And so there are problems in every generation. But the thing I love most is that it shows, like, this is a film that doesn't let those things stick. Like, they're able to be fixed. Let's do things differently and then moving forward, we can change the way things are, is really the message of the films. And I absolutely love it. And I mean, across the board, everything about the films, until Crispin Glover thought the movies were really about him and derailed the whole thing. But, you know, to me, that film is always, always a comfort film for me for those reasons.
Yeah, Back to the Futures are great. Those are good movies.
Jason, you've seen that one, right?
Seen the first one. And I was not enough into seeing sequels of it because I kind of was wary that they would. With time travel and sequels, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong. I mean, you know, ruining, like you were saying, kind of ruining things. That was one thing, you know, like with Highlander. I mean, it's not a time travel movie, but it's an overtime kind of a movie. And, you know, first one's awesome. And the second one just, you know, destroys everything. So I kind of shied away from the sequels. I've seen pieces of the sequels, but I've never sat down and watched them front to back.
Oh, I love the second one. I the second
who loves
one to me.
Fletch Lives.
What's that?
Love Fletch Lives.
Who loves Fletch Lives.
Yeah, wait a second.
There was no time travel involved.
A hard time, man.
There was no reality warping there. It was just, you know.
That's true. No, wait a second. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I love the second one, and I mean the second one came out in 1990, and or it might have been 89, and I saw that. I remember seeing that one in the theater, and 2015 was so far away.
Yes.
I mean, sure, in 2 and 3, a lot of the same things, like 2 and 3, in some ways, even though they repeat the first movie themes, they repeat each other more. They were written and filmed at the same time. And the third one, of course, they go back to the Old West. My only beef is that last final scene to close the train at the end of the very end of the third movie. But the second movie is actually a blast. But, I mean, Back to the Future, it's one of those movies that also still works. Like, you can show it to a young person now that may not want to watch a movie from 1985, because I've done that, and sometimes it gets disastrous results. But that one still works. Troy, are you a fan?
Back to the Future?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. First and second one, for sure. The third one was not as high on my chart. But the first two, yeah, definitely. And I went to Universal Studios in 87, and so there were still some remnants of Back to the Future in the sets that they let you drive around. They drive you around the lots, and so it was kind of real, you know, in some ways, being there and seeing it. So
that's cool. That's cool to see, see the DeLorean and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then the town square with the clock tower and all, you know, that's their main little square when you drive around. And it's always recognizable in other films. But that's the film that holds it for me, that building. So anytime I see that building, I'm like, hey, there's the Back to the Future building.
Yeah, yeah. And even the soundtrack is great. That little, you know, like the... Oh man, it's just it's funny how it's
a
funny
cameo by Huey Lewis.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, oh, it's so much fun. And it, actually, Josh Gad has been doing what he's calling Reunited Apart on YouTube, and I haven't seen it yet. But he's been taking he had the Goonies reunited, included, like all of them were there pretty well, and. He just did one for Back to the Future. It was basically a Zoom call with the cast talking.
Wow.
So I think it's online, but they're doing it all for charity. But it's fun.
I remember the guy that plays Biff. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. He was doing a stand-up comedy and came through town. And so my wife and I went to go see him. And he used to do this thing where he would come out as himself and do a whole hour of comedy, and then he disappears and he goes in the back and he dresses up in this cowboy outfit and he comes out as a whole nother person and does a whole nother hour of comedy as this cowboy character. It was hilarious.
What?
The guy was
really?
Yeah, it was something else. And he had created this cowboy character, and it was pretty good. I remember.
You know, all he would have to do is to walk out and say, hello, think, McFly, think, and everyone would clap, and then he'd make his, you know, $10,000 or whatever he's getting paid, and he leaves.
That's right.
He's making way too much work for himself. So, yeah, so definitely that is my comfort film. This is great. There's some great picks here this week, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it, Jason, Troy. I love chatting with you both, but... Thanks for sharing your comfort films with us this week.
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome.
Thanks for asking.
I got these movies I got to go revisit.
That's right. You're going to start quoting Fletch Lives, and your wife's going to be like, what got into you?
My car just hit a water buffalo. That's all I can think about.
And a bar of your towel.
Or you're going to take a golf club out to your flowers and start making some drives. Troy stands up to the plate, or Troy stands up.
We watched, here's an example. We watched and quoted Caddyshack so much that at my college graduation, when I walked across the stage, from the back of a couple of thousand people, I hear two of my friends yell, Spalding!
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that.
Neither did anyone else at Longwood University or college at the time, but, you know, that's good stuff.
That's cool. All right. Well, I mean, guys, thank you again. I really appreciate it. And for you at home, a reminder, you can find us wherever podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or whatever it's called now. I heard they changed the name from Google Play. You can find us on your Alexa device via Stitcher. And we will be back next week with another episode of Comfort Films. We're going to do this for probably another month as, partially because there's no movies in the theaters anyway, but also because it's been so much fun to hear what other people are saying. So, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And for you at home, stay safe and stay comfortable.